Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and
All right, 10:03 on Fan in a very good Thursday morning. To the midday show, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We're here till 1 o'clock, CMB. We'll come your way. Don Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. Of course, we're live and in living color from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear Deli Meats and Cheeses only at my favorite store, ShopRite. It was a very interesting sports night. A lot going on. The season openers for the two local NBA teams. One was good, one was bad. You had two LCS games last night. Both very interesting games as the Dodgers and the Red Sox inch closer to a World Series meeting. Bro, how are you?
Can you imagine how you would feel, how I would feel, how Yankee fans would feel, how Met fans would feel if a ball is hit over the fence,
bro,
for a game-tying two-run home run in your own building? You're excited. And you don't even know. You don't even know that Joe West called interference and an out. We didn't know that. No one knew that. We see them reviewing it, and you're thinking, maybe it'll be a double.
Right, right.
Maybe it'll be a double. Right. And then, all of a sudden, Altuve sent back into the dugout. The runner sent back to first base. And you're thinking, what the hell has happened?
Yeah.
That was gutsy. That was unbelievable. That was stunning. And that was a part of what was a crazy baseball day.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Looking at that play, and I saw the replay from a number of different angles. I mean, it looked like a home run. I mean, I got to tell you. I mean, I didn't see where the fan reached over the fence to make the play. I mean, we were talking, me, you, and Ernie were talking off the air about this. You know, you go back to 96 and the Tarasco play with Derek Jeter. You know, Tarasco, it's true. He's sitting there waiting for the ball to come down.
Yes.
And clearly Mayer goes over the fence and interferes with it. In this case, maybe Betts is catching the ball. I don't know. It would have been a great catch. I didn't see where the fan was going, really went over the fence to go for the ball.
You're right. There is no video proof that the fan clearly went over the fence and interfered. But here's the problem. Is there clear proof that he didn't?
Yeah, and it was called an out already by West.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo. That's the problem. The problem is we could all look at that play and say, that sucks. That shouldn't have happened. We can't assume Betts is making the catch. We need to be rational about this. How can that be an out? We could say that all day. There is no video proof. And I watched this 50 times.
Yeah, I saw it a lot.
There is no proof that the guy didn't interfere, because there is so little room between where the guy is standing, the guys are standing, the fence, which looks ultra thin, there's no proof that he didn't.
Yeah.
So the biggest issue here is that Joe West initially said interference. If he doesn't initially say interference, there is no overturn. That's the key, that Joe West had the guts, whatever you want to call it, you call it something else. I call it guts. Because if that's New York, I don't know if he's getting out of there.
Well,
but he had the guts to make that call, and that's the end-all, be-all, because You're right. There is no video proof there was interference. But there's also no video proof that it wasn't.
Well, they should have done something, at least to maybe call it a double or something. I mean, to call it just say he's out. I don't know. I thought that was a little, I didn't think that was the right call.
You know what sucks about it? You're right, but you're wrong. Like, I agree with you that it just doesn't feel right. I completely agree with you. It didn't feel right. But when you read the rule and you know that it was initially called one thing, I don't know how you could overturn it. That's the problem. That's the ultimate problem. And here's what Major League Baseball has to ask themselves. They got to talk to themselves right now. Rob Manfred's got to look in the mirror and he's got to have a conversation. And that's, do we want to open ourselves to this kind of controversy by having the stands as close to the fence as they are? Because if you set them back a few rows, if you put a little dopey flower bed, there's no issue.
Yeah, there's no gray area. No, that's a great point. That is true. That's a good call by you.
And John Heyman, who I love, and he's going to be on our show later, fired off the most irrelevant tweet I've ever seen.
What'd he say?
He said, if there are no fans, Mookie Betts makes that catch. Great. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean? You don't want any fans in watching a game now?
You're right. If you push him back, maybe he makes the catch. But the rule doesn't state that Mookie Betts has the right to go into the crowd and make a catch. If he is in the stands,
right. It's open season.
It's open season.
The fan could do whatever he wants.
Whatever he wants.
They could knock, they could knock his arm off the ball. I mean, they really could do that.
Or close his glove like they did.
You know, but I just didn't see where this fan blatantly put his hand over the fence to make the play.
He didn't.
I didn't see. But, I didn't see that way.
But there wasn't the evidence to overturn it either. And that's why this all came down to Joe West making a decision. And here's the other problem Major League Baseball has. So we're all watching this game. Did anybody know that Joe West definitively called that interference?
Yeah, right.
There needs to be microphones on these umpires so that Joe West could have announced, how great would that have been, announcing to that crowd, interference, Altuve out.
Right.
Because it was confusion. We didn't even know what he called.
Well, Joe West is one of those guys that, he wants it to be about Joe West. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's been around forever, and he's a guy that, to me, has always been about him, similar to Angel Hernandez and a couple other guys. But those two guys come to mind more than anybody. So that's also kind of factors it into me a little bit.
It's all about Joe West. This whole debate is about Joe West's initial call. We could sit here all day and talk about replaying what I saw, what you saw, what they saw, what I saw, what everybody saw. There was not enough to overturn what he initially called. And I think we all agree that's the point of replay. Unless it's obvious, you're going to keep what's called on the field. Once he says it's interference, you can't overturn it. Just like if he initially said, no interference, home run. Joe, they're not overturning that it's going to be a home run, and we got ourselves a tie game. And A.J. Hinch is right about this. There are so many other things that happened in this baseball game where the Astros could have won, should have won, where the Red Sox made a play, where a million different things happened after that first inning that could have changed the game. So while it was an incredibly big moment, it was the first inning of the game. There was so many other things during the course of 4.5 hours that could have changed the result.
And they still had chances in the ninth inning to win the game. I mean, Kimbrel, who, let's be honest. I mean, he's just he got away with it last night, but walks the bases loaded, and then really Benintendi bails him out. I mean, what else can you say? A terrific diving catch by Benintendi, to end the game. I mean, come on.
There are moments where you have a feeling about what's going to happen. When Craig Kimbrel, and Yankee fans know this, they remember this from game 4, he has been on the verge of imploding every single timeout.
Definitely. Very shaky.
It hasn't happened yet.
Not yet.
He has saved every game. He saved every game.
Maybe he's saving it for the World Series.
Maybe. He's saving it for the most epic moment possible.
Right.
Or maybe as they blow a 3-1 lead. You never know.
That could be, too.
This series is not over, by the way.
Well, I would say that. Yeah.
I don't care.
With David Price pitching game 5.
And a sick Chris Sale in game 6.
That's right.
And the fact that the Astros are champions.
Well,
you got to beat the champions.
No, I agree. I'm with you.
But when Alex Bregman came up with the bases loaded and 2 outs, and if you lasted 4.5 hours, you're thinking to yourself, what a reward I have just now been handed. Bases loaded, 2 outs, bottom of the ninth. Oh, my God. And I thought there's no doubt Bregman's finding the alley. The Astros are going to win this game.
Right,
there's no doubt in my mind. And that home run, non-home run, it's going to become a footnote in baseball history because the Astros are going to win the game anyway. And off the bat, Bregman hits this just line drive. And off the bat, thinking, there you go. He didn't waste any time. And Andrew Benintendi comes in.
He saved him.
And makes a great play. And that was the story for the Red Sox. They made big defensive plays when they need to, because one of the more underrated plays was Craig Kimbrell actually got a six-out save. Right, he came in the eighth inning. First pitch he throws to Tony Kemp is a line drive into the corner.
Right. That's the play where Betts threw him out at second base.
What a play by Mookie.
He was out by a lot, too.
Yes, he was.
He really was.
And Tony Kemp is a fast guy.
Yep.
And off the bat, I thought, well, there's no doubt it's going to be a double.
Yeah.
And how many right fielders can make that play? Maybe Aaron Judge makes that play.
I could name a few from the past, but now.
Roberto Clemente?
I think he might make it. Rocky Colavito, right? Vladimir would make it. There's a couple guys.
There's a couple of guys in history.
Carl Farrillo, I didn't see him, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe. So there's like seven guys in history.
Right. Something like that.
But Mookie makes that play. And the other thing that added to the drama last night is that David Price was warming up.
Yeah, I did see that.
He was the insurance policy.
Yeah, I know.
And you know what confused me about this? So Price is warming up, all right? Why was he never used? What was he warming up for, Joe, if Kimbrell is walking the bases low? Like, what was he waiting for?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I got to tell you, I wanted to see it.
Cora was confident.
In what?
I don't know. Kimbrell was going to find a way to get through it.
Then why was he warming up?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, he didn't take him out.
No, he didn't.
Warming up or not, he didn't take him out of the game.
No, I get that. I'm just, what was he warming up for then? I don't know what the situation he was waiting for.
For the start tonight? Getting a jump on it?
I don't know.
I can't give you an answer.
And I tell you, you're so right, because you said this off air. This is the perfect spot for David Price.
Oh, God. Up 3-1? up 3-1 on the road? Yeah, that's the way to go.
Would it surprise you if he came out and dealt the big one?
Yeah.
It would still surprise
I fully expect Houston to win tonight. I really do. I fully expect the series to go back to Boston. No, I can't see Houston just crapping out in five games.
No, I do too. And I think this thing may go seven. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, I mean, that could happen. Sure.
Sure,
they
can
still
not?
Win, like you said. Why not?
We've seen teams come back.
Unless Jackie Bradley is going to continue doing what he's doing.
How about that?
He's been unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
And what he hit last night was a bomb.
Oh, it was a monster shot. There were just so many plays in this game that were crazy. Like, I'll give you an example. It's a 6-5 game in the seventh inning, and I forget who the batter was. I totally forget. Hits a ground ball into a double play ball. Correa makes the play, goes to step on second, throws to first. All right, double play, inning's over. They initially rule guy safe at second, Correa never touched second. I'm thinking, what the hell happened? They show the replay, he never touched second. Guess what happens? The next two guys walk, Red Sox get an insurance run. Huge moment in this game.
That is big.
There were just so many things about this baseball game that were nuts, and that doesn't even include Craig Counsell basically saying, you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to be John McGraw by coming up with this strategy, which I have always said would be so brilliant, and that's, why do I have to tell my opponent who's starting this game? He sends out Wade Miley. He faces one hitter. And oops, what's happening? I'm taking him out to go to the righty, and he brings in Brandon Woodruff. I mean, I know McGraw never did anything specific like that, but I always told you, I read stories how in like the 1912 World Series, John McGraw would warm up two starting pitchers.
Right.
I heard once he warmed up four starting pitchers.
That's funny you said it, because I didn't watch a lot of that game, but I'm like, wait, didn't Miley start this game? I remember popping it up and saying, wait a minute. It's like no score. Why is he not in the game? Yeah. I didn't get that.
That's what happened.
And obviously Kershaw was great.
Yeah, and give him credit.
Yeah, he got the job done yesterday.
Clayton Kershaw is very up and down in the postseason. So this narrative that he's terrible or he's great, neither is true. He's both. Sometimes he's been great. Sometimes he's been terrible. Yep. We've always talked about that with him.
Well, he was good late yesterday. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. And now the Dodgers are a win-win.
You see the Brewers coming back. They got the two games at home.
This thing ain't over.
Well, I'm not saying that, but you see the Brewers winning the series.
I don't know anymore, but the reason why I lean towards yes is that it just feels like the L.A. Dodgers are doing a lot of things wrong, and they've been fortunate in many ways, and they don't feel like a championship team. Does that make any sense, just watching them? They don't feel that way. Now, look, they're up 3-2. They have the starting pitching edge, mainly because the Brewers don't have starting pitchers, other than really Jolys Chacín will go five innings, and I guess Wade Miley, too, but he's a five-inning guy. I think it's risky that they've overly relied on their bullpen, and Jeremy Jeffress, much like Craig Kimbrell, has flirted a lot with complete implosions, but they are going back home with that loud, energized crowd. They do have the MVP of the league in Christian Yelich. I think there's a good chance they come back and win this series. Why not?
I want to see them win.
So what do you want, Milwaukee, Houston?
I don't really care who wins the American League. I don't. It doesn't. But I just don't want to see the Dodgers win. I just don't. I can't stand the Dodgers. I just you know, major disdain for them.
I understand.
Major.
I understand.
So I just, you know.
I just want to be entertained.
And the Brewers have never won one. Let them get to the World
Series.
Sure. It's been, you know, it's been, what is it, 34 years since they were there.
82. Yeah, 36.
36, right, not 34. Sorry, yeah. 36 years, right.
I just want to be entertained. And so far, I give the LCS's credit. They have been highly,
here's the one,
highly entertaining.
One problem, though, is let's be honest, and you have to the games, I mean, the games end at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's just,
it's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's not helping. Major League Baseball's got to address that. You know, that their biggest games, people are, you know, most people, you know, living on the East Coast, unless you're, you know, a Red Sox fan, diehard Red Sox fan, you're going to go right to the bitter end with your team, are not staying to the end of that game.
No.
It's a problem.
What I think is happening is that I think that a lot of people are waking up in the morning, and with all the technology we going on the MLB app, and they're watching highlights, and they're watching a baseball game in about 20 minutes,
right?
Because you can do that.
Yes.
But that's not the same.
It's not the same as the, you know, pitch-by-pitch drama.
Well, yeah.
You're not getting that.
And think about it. The scenario I painted was amazing. Bases loaded, bottom of the ninth.
Walks the bases loaded.
Right.
No.
Bregman versus Kimbrel, game on the line, and it happened at 1:15 in the morning.
It's just,
that's a
not
problem.
Good. You know, baseball has to address it. I mean, I don't know what you do. I mean, look, to me, the night game. Look, if you have to overlap the start of the American League game while the National League game's still going on, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, you know what, Joe? You're right. You may have to do that.
That's what you got to do. The guy who, let's be honest, the guy, if you're invested already watching the Dodger game, you're going to stay to the end of the Dodger game.
Right.
All right?
Right.
If you pick up the other game in the third or fourth inning, okay, so be it. If you're a fan of the Red Sox or the Astros, you're watching from pitch one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And I think baseball has to address that.
Yeah,
8:45 for that game to start?
That's a problem.
Of course.
The Dodger game the night before was after 9. It was 9:08.
Right. Now, that's on the West Coast, but even so.
But even still, you want this to be a national game,
not
a localized game.
That's right.
It is a major, major problem, I admit, because look at me, bro. You know I'm a diehard baseball fan. I'm struggling.
It's almost impossible.
It's tough. I mean, you got games routinely two nights in a row now ending at 1:30 and 2:30 in the morning.
What time is this game tonight? This game starts late tonight again.
I would assume it's 8:07.
Because there's only one game.
Right, so it's a little bit earlier, but it's still late.
I mean,
because,
you know, start the game at 7:30.
It's an 8:09 start.
Start the game at 7.
But think about this. Even if you get a three-hour
game. I know
they're
an hour behind in Houston, but still.
I don't think it's a problem to start the game at 7.
No.
No,
it's 6.
Right, 6 o'clock their time. But even if you get a three-hour, 10-minute game, you're still talking about 11:30.
Of course.
It's not that early.
Of course.
Now, that's better than 1:30.
Will the baseball game end before the football game tonight? Probably not.
No shot. No
shot. Not that it's a great football game, because it's not, but I'm just throwing it out there.
No, it's a problem. I think there's a couple of things baseball needs to clean up. Number one is that. And number two is I think you got to mic these umpires. Rich Eisen has tweeted that a lot, and he's 100% right. There is too much confusion now with certain calls where we have no idea. The announcers are guessing.
Yeah.
You know, you got Brian Anderson saying, I think they did this. No, there shouldn't be think. There should be, even if it's just the crew chief, I don't care.
Right.
Somebody's
got
to be mic'd. They got to turn the mic on and tell the people what the heck is going on. That's important. And that's what we missed last night. But it was an insane night of baseball. For the Knicks fan last night, you had a good night.
Yep.
You started off the season
1-0. They played like a Division III college team.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, how bad is Atlanta?
Well, they are,
yesterday.
They
served up the Knicks a stellar opponent for opening night.
They sure did.
I tell you that.
I said to you yesterday, I think this is the one team the Knicks would be favored to beat, the Atlanta Hawks.
Well,
but to their credit,
they beat them. They blew them away.
They beat them up
49
after,
points in the second quarter. Are you kidding me?
And that's after missing their first 11 field goals or whatever it was.
I think the turning point was when the guy from half court hits the shot for 10 grand.
Well, he energized the crowd. He got people pumped.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.